This is the Unconditional Love Fellowship tape, or CD, I should say, for September 2015. And indeed, may the Lord be with every one of us, as He surely is. And I just want to thank you. This has been a wonderful summer of seeing the hand of the Lord. And you, dear folks, have been a vital part of that in your giving, in your praying with us. And so as we move out of summer into the fall, thank you, thank you, thank you for every time you have connected with us, whether to pray for us or to give your offerings. Thank you. You make this ministry possible. You and I together are loving one at a time to life in Jesus. And just quickly, to get it out of the way, I'm amazed at the number of persons who are coming to the retreat in December who we've never met before. Usually the retreat is almost like a homecoming of you guys, but this time we have been swamped with persons from the webinars, and so they are totally new persons, many of them just coming alive. They are like buds in the spring opening up to the grace of God, and we are almost full. And so if you plan to come, it's not like other years when you can slide in at the last minute because we've got empty spaces. We are coming now to the point of having a waiting list, and we're not there yet, but it's going to be in the next days. And so if you plan to come, please call our office immediately. I want to see you there. And also, we're amazed again at the response to our Module 1 that begins a new cycle of modules in January. And if you want to be at that Bible school, again, call our office. Even that is getting close to being full, with every seat available full. So, okay, that's out of the way. I want to read something that has been exciting me for a number of days. It's Psalm number 1, and I will read the first three verses, but it's verse 3 that I'm really looking at. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But, incidentally, many people live in the not. That is, they tell you all the things they don't do, places they don't go, and they would be content to end the psalm in verse 1, telling you everything they don't do. But, verse 2 says, it's not what you don't do, it's what you do. And so, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. And of verse 3, specifically, which yields its fruit in its season. I suppose this hour that we'll spend together is from both Nancy and myself. And I say that because we were sitting on our porch, as so often we do, and we were discussing the things of the new creation in Christ, as we often do. And it was on the first day of fall, and sometime early in the morning while we slept, we had turned from summer to fall. Seasons had changed. And as we talked then about seasons of life, seasons in the scripture, this entire happening in the spirit took place, and when we'd finished talking, I said, you know, I've got what I'm going to say to the partners, so it would be wrong to say this comes from me. It comes from us, because there was a lot of input there from Nancy as well as myself. And so count this. You're sitting down with both Nancy and myself, and this is what we want to talk about. The Bible is full of references to seasons. Sometimes the word is translated as time or times. And so you will read in the Psalms, what, in the time of trouble. We could translate that, in fact, as in the season of trouble. Or my times, that is my seasons, are in his hand. Remember that one. I will bless the Lord at all times. A season. Season. And that spills over into the New Testament too, as I'll say in a moment. Seasons. And to have a grasp on this will open up a whole new attitude, perception of life itself. First of all, let me point out and maybe sort of ease into this the fact that our natural life is, it's not only full of seasons, that's how it happens. Our life is a matter of seasons. That's how life in this world flows. I mean, as I just made reference, the seasons of the year. Our whole existence takes place within the change of seasons. And so there's the season of spring and budding and hope and expectancy and potential. And everything is budding. All the bare branches are now covered in little tiny buds. And it seems every bird in creation has woken up. And they're rushing around getting all the stuff for their nests. And you see things emerge that you haven't seen for a long time. Like squirrels are suddenly there, and it's springtime. Everything's coming alive. And then that moves, of course, into summer. And summer with its heat, and summer with its blaze of flowers, and summertime. And summertime then moves to fall with its own blaze of glory. And now everything that has been growing comes to harvest, and its fruit and nuts. And then we move back into winter, which is the time of sleep, which is the time where everything is being silently renewed, and everything of the old is falling away, and its own beauty to winter, which then merges into spring. And so we live in the seasons, and believe me, that's how our life is put together. Seasons are of tremendous importance. But then, of course, there's the seasons of our very being. That is, our life is a matter of seasons. We began in conception, and there was the season of pregnancy, and it was very well marked. We can speak of the very day and the week of the pregnancy. And then there's the birth. It was a season that one went through. And then there's the child season, which moves then to the teenage season and the early 20s, and then on to the adult season, and then on to the old age season. And do you realize that there's a distinction, there's a difference between being a child and between being an old person? There's a season, you see. And as spring moves into summer, so teenage 20s move into adult. And There comes a moment when you realize you've moved, or as Paul says in Corinthians, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I talked as a child, then I put away childish things. Something's happened. You moved into a new season. Do you get this? I mean, a day is a season. It's got a beginning and an ending. And within the day, there's the light and the sunshine, the dark. And in a day, there's being awake and alive and energetic, and then sleep. Did you see that there's a change? It's not just one blob of life. There are seasons. And then there's the week, and it's very, very clear cut. There's 7 days in the week. And in those 7 days, it's ordained that we work, and then it's ordained that we rest. And then there's the months, and in the months that they're set, if we go by the Bible, there are many vacations all the way through, feasts, when we relax and work, and we celebrate, and we... And of course, if you really look at what we're talking about in terms of the Bible, every 7 years, the whole jolly year was a season of rest. And then the 49th moving into the 50th year of Jubilee. Seasons. It's different. You were doing this, you stopped doing this, and you now start doing this because it's another season. It's even in the animal creation, you know. As it comes toward winter, you notice the bears begin to hoard and get sleepy and go off into hibernation, along with other animals. I was just thinking of bears. But then there's those birds, all those birds from the north. They come down here, land in our garden, and then they go back again. It's migration, hibernation. It's amazing, but it's seasons. I mean, how do the birds know that it's time to come south? How do they know it's time to go to bed for the winter? How does the squirrel know it's time to gather the nuts and go into his hole and not come out again for a while? Seasons. Even the sea. It's the tides. It goes in, it goes out. It goes in, it goes out. Even the moon goes through its phases. Okay, you get the picture. And of course, when you get deeper into this, we within ourselves go through seasons. I mean, our bodies, every one of our bodies, there's cycles going on all the time, much more than we're really aware of. You have to sort of get to know some of this stuff. There's cycles in your mind, the way you think. Sometimes you're very creative, other times you're blah. It's a cycle that's going in the mind. It didn't just sort of come out of the blue. It happens because of the changes in our body. The hormonal changes produce feelings of joy and feelings of, well, I'll say downtime. We go through it. Seasons that we would describe as light, happy, creative, achieving. Other times when we're dark, it seems down deep inside me somewhere I've gone to sleep, or I've lost the ability to think straight. And of course, then there's seasons of trouble. Things happen around us and there's trouble. You might spell that in capital letters, underline it in purple. Trouble. And there's other times when you feel a great aloneness. You feel everyone has left you and you're alone. Other times you could describe as days of hurt and pain. But other days, everything seems to be going your way. It's times of joy and light and achieving. Days of rising to the challenge, walking in opportunity and abundance. Seasons. Incidentally, you'll find all of what I've just said in the Psalms. It's the entire spectrum of human life is reflected in the Psalms. But what is a season? I said, not only our natural life, but the Bible's full of this. A season is a specific time within time. And sometimes you could call that time... as a rather long period sometimes, but within that time there's many little times, little seasons that are sort of fitting into that whole, a time within a time. A season is a time of change. We're moving from the way things have been to something different. It's a changing. We call it this changing of the seasons. And there's changes in our life. Everything that we had said is the way it is now being broken up. And it's not that anymore. And you see this in the men and women in the Bible. Moses, I mean, look at the seasons of Moses' life. He was a prince in Egypt. He was heir to the throne to be the Pharaoh. And that was over when he saw the plight of his people and he chose to go and live among the slaves. And what a difference from the palace to the slaves. And then the assaulting and murdering of one of the slave masters, and then he's a fugitive and he goes into the howling wilderness, and for 40 years he's looking after the sheep of Jethro. That's a long time. And then suddenly the burning bush, and he becomes the Moses that everybody knows. But you've got those seasons, the season of a prince, the season of identifying with slaves, the season of a fugitive. Total different change. David, season of a shepherd, and he's called into court to play his guitar to Saul in his depression, and he's a man of the court, at least somewhat. And then came Goliath, and that changed everything, and he became the warrior leader, and then Saul's jealousy, and he becomes a fugitive in the caves of Adullam and the Judean wilderness. Then he becomes the king. But within his journey as a king, there are many other little journeys, seasons. It's the way it is. Seasons. And so a season speaks of movement. Something's happening, as in the spring, the sap rises in the tree and the leaves appear. So a season in life means there's something afoot, something's happening, there's a movement, something new is coming into being, though not always comfortably. We were very happy with the way things were, and now this new thing. But it is something of great significance, even if you don't see it such as the time. But in 5 years' time, you look back and you'll realize this was a change that was of great significance. Okay, the Hebrew word for season, or for time sometimes, it actually is connected to the idea of answer. That is, something is happening and we answer to that. We respond to it. We are caught up into it with action. So season in the Hebrew means a time of doing things, action. Something's happening. We're responding to the change that is taking place. You could say we're riding the wave of the season. We're not fighting it. We're riding the wave of the season. It's happening. So now we will take the proper response to that, which I'll get to in a moment. But in the Greek language, it's a very interesting word in the New Testament. You know, there are two words for time in Greek. One is chronos, which means essentially the tick-tock of your watch. It's how we gauge the hours and the days, the time. What's the time? And what's the date? That's chronos. But this other word, kairos, and kairos means within that tick-tock of time, within that there are moments of opportunity. Doors appear in time to walk through. It's this same word, a season, it's an event, it's a happening, it's time to move, it's a kairos moment. Okay, seasons happen to us. We don't plan them. We're not in charge of the seasons. Whether I like it or not, it's fall now. It happened the other Wednesday morning. We had nothing to do with it. We recognized it, and we're getting used to the idea. In a few days' time, there'll be time change to really plunge us into the middle of fall come winter, and we'll have to adjust to that. We'll have to get used to it. We've got to get used to the change of temperatures right now. Change. It happens to us. We don't decide when it's going to be, nor do we customize the season. We don't say, well, I would like it now to be such and such a temperature. No, you have nothing to do with that. It happens to us. And the Bible always speaks of these seasons as the right time. It speaks of the balance of life. And it has, persons have tried to change everything. You know, the French Revolution, that was an atheistic revolution. And so they recognized that the 7-day week was originated in the Bible, and therefore they said, we've got to get rid of it. And so the French Revolution introduced a 10-day week. The whole of France nearly went insane, and I mean that literally. That they couldn't live with that. They had to go back to 7 days. Because these seasons, whether you like a 7-day week or not, that's the way your body functions. That's the flow of life. That's the cycle of our existence. And we could move that out to all the other seasons. So this is it. There are seasons that take place. And they're the balance of life. And something's happening that ultimately is good. Okay. But you see, my flesh, that which came in through the lie of Satan in Genesis 3, you shall be as God, you're in charge of everything, life is all about you, you decide what's good, you decide what's evil, and so on. So what do we want in our natural self, that is self outside of Christ, the self that was taken to the cross, finished, but that flesh left to itself wants to change the seasons. In fact, sometimes we want not only to change them, we want to abolish seasons. Because, you see, the flesh is impatient. The flesh is afraid. Flesh is full of fear and is afraid of anything new. That takes me out of my comfort zone and plunges me into a zone I know nothing of. So I don't want anything to do with this. Have you noticed that a child, especially exposed to the horrors, and I say that advisedly, of television and some of the movies today, a child does not want to be a child. For multitudes of our children, they've missed childhood. They are thrust into the future. A child today is indoctrinated to become a teenager, even an adult. The child becomes then discontent, anxious about being a child. And it's always, I want to be a teenager. That is, I don't want this season of child. I want to scrap that and get immediately to being teenager. Yeah, but when you're a teenager, then I don't want to be a teenager. I want to be an adult. I want to be in charge. I want to dismiss my parents. And I want to do my thing and be an adult in this world. Isn't it interesting that adults then are discontented and want to be teens and twenties? Isn't it amazing? You see grown people dressing up like children, like teenagers, and doesn't fit. I want to slap them and say, you're an adult, put away childish things, be who you are. Or you've got the I know about the men, and I'm sure there's a place of women here, but the man child. Do you reckon, you see them, and good grief, they're in their late 20s into their early 30s, and they're playing games like a teenager, and they're talking like teenagers, and they hang out like teenagers. And I say, grow up. The season changed. You've obviously missed the memo. Be a man. Be who you are. Be the adult. But no, it's part of it now. And even our president boasted that he now will put children up to 26 years of age on insurance. Good grief, when I was 26, I'd long left home and was independent. We won't go there, but you see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? We don't want. And then when we get old, oh, we're terrified of the change into old age, and we'll color our person to make us look young. We'll go to surgeons who make us look like cats or fish in our face just to prove we're not the age we... No, we're terrified of growing old. We don't want that season. We deny it. We pretend. We mask. We do 1,000 things all to go back. I want the other season. So you could say that mankind in the flesh, in the lie, it produces seasons of discontent. I want to be someone else. I want to be somewhere else. I want to be in a different season. There's a restlessness to life, an anxiety, because this discontent. This person that does not know who they are in Christ or outside of Christ, they see self as half alive. You see, if this is what they say, I hear it all the time, if I could be in another season, that is, if I could be somewhere else, if I could be a different age, if I could have different situation, if my life was, if I had a different job, if we lived in Michigan instead of New York, if I could be somewhere else, then I'd be fulfilled. I meet singles, single men, single women, and they honestly believe they're not fulfilled until they find a mate. They're only half alive until they're married. And so they don't live now, you see. With that mentality, you don't live now. You're waiting for it to happen. I can't say this job is where I'll glorify God, because I really don't want to be here and I want to be somewhere else. See, if I could only move to the West Coast, then I could glorify God. But living here where I do, no, I've got to wait for that. And so we never live. We never live. We're always saying, when a season changes, when something happens and I get out of here. Do you relate? You say, I want to skip a season. I don't like this. It's the sort of child. I don't want to be a child. I want to move immediately, you know, down the road quickly. I want to get to the fruit of the harvest. I don't want this season of planting and this season of watering and growing. I want to jump seasons. Someone came to me. Well, actually, it's happened over the years. People say, would you lay hands on me and give me your anointing so I can sort of have the same ministry as you? Well, bless your heart, my friend. If I could, which I can't, but if I could lay hands on you and give you what I've got, you'd die in a minute. And I mean that I said that carefully. Because you see, where I am at this moment of time is at the end of many, many, many seasons. And those seasons have some been very alone, feeling that I've been rejected by every human being. There's been seasons of betrayal in there, seasons of confusion and darkness, seasons when I do not know if there's earth in front of my feet to put my feet on in the darkness. Yes, that's all been part of it. Oh, there's been other days, seasons of great revelation and joy where one could dance on the ceiling. Yes, that too. But if I were to compress all those seasons of pain and confusion and groping and searching and betrayal, if I could compress that into the moment of laying on hands and saying, get this, you'd die. It took the seasons. It took minute by minute. It took a beginning and an ending to certain times in life. We want to jump. It's the same mentality. I want to win the lottery. And you know that most people who win the lottery end up suicide or in terrible chaotic conditions. Why? Because you didn't go through the process of learning to respect money, know how to get it, know what to do with it. Instead, suddenly, you've got all this money, you haven't got a clue what's happening, you're crushed by it. You seasons, you see, you grow. And some of the seasons are not pleasant, I'll admit. But afterwards, you recognize if all that had not been part of my life, I wouldn't be sitting here. Do you understand that? And if I should be sitting here, I'd have nothing to say. For everything I share with you, I've often said it, I picked it up on the floor of the valley of the shadow of death. Afterward, in days of extreme joy, suddenly it all makes sense and it all fits together. But I would have nothing to say unless I had been to the bottom of many a well and found the life of Christ there. Then I report it to you. No, leave it to us and we would make our own. It would be homemade seasons and it would be full of laughter. It would be full of light. It would be full of sandboxes to play in. Days of fulfillment and constant high. I mean, many people think that is what blessing means. That's why when darkness comes, when loneliness comes, when the winter seasons are upon us in our soul, when we feel pain, which of course North Americans are terrified of pain. That's not part of their life, even though it, of course it is part of life. Well, the first reaction when some of these seasons come is, it must be the devil. You get it all the time, don't you? In a prayer meeting, I'm under attack, you know. So we rebuke the season. We pray, take it away, take it away. And I'm not condemning you. Paul went through that, 2 Corinthians 12, when he describes one of his seasons as a messenger of Satan. A bunch of people who wanted to destroy him and his message. So he says, he begins the chapter by saying, three times I prayed that it be taken away, which is a Hebrew idea of I prayed again and again and again. Take it away, take it away. I don't want this. This has got to be the devil. Can't be God, can it? Couldn't be blessing. This is an inferior life to blessing. And then we look, how did I get here? And I decided that, I did that. And I say, if only I'd never met that person. If only I'd never said that. If only I hadn't decided that. What if I hadn't? What if? And then I could be like, and I begin to envy others. Want to be like them. Then I'd be living where they live. Then I would have a job like them. Oy vey. Have you ever considered the fact when we say the word incarnation, when we speak of God the Son, becoming flesh, coming into our broken mess, came into it and assumed it and made it his own. Do you realize he came inside our seasons? Please hear that and hear it deeply. Incarnation means that God the Son, sent by God the Father, came into our seasons. He came into our times. Every season that we have or will go through, he's been there. He's been there. He knows loneliness and betrayal and darkness, even as he knows an extreme divine joy and peace and fulfillment. He knows it all. Whatever season you are in, have been in, will be in, you'll find the footprints of Jesus. And after this, I trust you will realize that he's actually there now, because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, joins us and lives in our seasons with us. Okay? Did you get that? Do you realize that Jesus didn't come just to get you to heaven when you die? For goodness sake. He came to bring the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to bring heaven, which is the presence of love himself, into your season. That's salvation. Not go to heaven when you die. It's come into heaven now. Ephesians 5, it speaks of redeeming the time. That's it, the time. Redeeming the time. Well, what does that mean? Well, the word redeem in this case means, well, how could I put it? It means to buy it out for yourself. That is, own the season. You're not a victim of the season. The season is bristling with opportunity. It's a Kairos moment. It's full of opportunity. The word there was used to describe what? If you went into your local grocery store and you bought out everything they had in terms of whatever you want. You go there and you buy out a product so that you've exhausted their supply. That would be this word. You've gone in and you've bought them out. And it's saying go into your season and reclaim it. Buy it out. Take every part of this season and reclaim it. That is Jesus, God in our flesh, came into our seasons. Seasons that had been stolen by Satan to be used as tools in his foul hand. And Jesus crushed his power, claimed the seasons, and is Lord of the seasons. That they shall now be times of expressing, being filled with the love of the Father. Times of celebration by the Holy Spirit. So now, you in him and he in you, you reclaim the season. You put your foot down. You say this is his season, and in this season he shall be glorified. The love of God shall be established and seen as it could never be in any other time. This season, the uniqueness of this season shall be the container of the unique love of God that we never would have known but for this season. Are you getting it? Oh, I know that sounded good, didn't it? But you see, still, we find it uncomfortable. It's amazing. Even though we're being taken out of the comfort zone where we have lived in Christ, and we're now discovering a new season, we're discovering things about our relationship to the Father in Christ. We're discovering the Holy Spirit as we've never discovered Him before, because this season has brought us to that. We're having revelation of God, and yet it's uncomfortable, and there's some default mechanism in us that would prefer, thank you very much, to just go back to the same old, same old. You know, the people who would say, well, if you'd have been around in the charismatic movement, oh man, that was being filled with the Spirit. I can tell you, when I went to this meeting and saw, and on and on and on and on and on they go. What used to be, yeah, and I want to say, shut up, I was there too. It was glorious and wonderful, but it was a season, and it ended somewhere in the 80s, and there was a shift, a movement. Please, we're not there. And I know it's uncomfortable, because you were so comfortable there, you can never forget it, but come into a new challenge. Discover a new strength. Discover new opportunities. Discover things, actually things that never could be but for what happened in the 60s and 70s. But that was a season. Now this, and this, and this. We'll forever be taken out of our comfort zone, so that we might ever increasingly discover the God who is bigger than our wildest dreams. And it takes all these seasons in which we discover His greatness and His goodness, in which I discover the true meaning of life, that it isn't just to be cradled like a baby and to live my resume over and over and over again. No, I develop, I grow, I become. And in it all, in a changing life, everything's always changing, but I discover increasingly the constancy of God, the unchangeableness of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. I discover, I put my roots into His faithfulness, that in all of this, He never leaves me nor forsakes me. In all these changing seasons, can I counsel you, never ask why. Why is this happening to me? I mean, please, get a life. I don't know. Nor will you. That is deep in the wisdom of your Father who loves you. There's no why, but I tell you the questions to ask. They begin mostly with what? Look to your Father and know His love, because the flesh would tell you if He loved you, this wouldn't be happening to you. Well, your flesh lies. It can only lie. And remind it that it was crucified with Christ. The question is, what are you, Father? You who love me, what are you revealing yourself to be? That could only be revealed to me in such a time as this. What are you doing in me right now that could only be done in such a situation? What fruit of the Spirit are you bringing forth in me that would have only existed in potential but for this moment? What are you doing, not only in me, but what are you doing through me? What rivers of life are now beginning to bubble up and go out from me because I'm in this situation? What promises have you made in your Scripture that are uniquely fitted to this particular time? Because I can tell you, no, every season has promises attached to it. Now, Paul spoke much of seasons without really mentioning the word. You know, in Philippians 4, that's a section, what is it, about verse toward the end of the chapter, and he speaks, he says, you know, I never speak out of want. He's thanking them for their offering, but he says, I never want you to think I'm here in want, because he said, when I go through times of abundance or times of lack, when things aren't as abundant, when I go through times of heady joy and other times I go through dark times, I have learned the secret of being content. That's the word, content. I am not owned by my circumstances of the season. I own the season because I am in Christ, the Lord of the season. Therefore, in everything I'm content. What is content? Hear me on this one. The word content means, well, I think sometimes you might have felt it without even really thinking too much about it, but it's that satisfaction with yourself. You are fully at home in your own skin. You're satisfied with where you are, who you are, and what you're doing. Satisfied. But contentment in the scripture, of course, carries it to the highest peak, that you are satisfied with yourself in Christ. I'm satisfied that I am in Christ. No more am I, no more double-minded, no more anxiety, no more religious doubt. No, I'm in Christ. That's the end of it, isn't it? I look to Father and I call him Father, Abba, Daddy. I'm at home here. I'm at home and Christ is at home in me. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm content. The Amplified Version, good old evangelical Amplified Version, translates that as, I am self-sufficient with His sufficiency. Perfect. I'm sufficient. I've got all I need for this present moment. And I know that when tomorrow comes, I'll be sufficient for that too. I'm content, you see. I'm satisfied. I'm sufficient. And then he comes down further and he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that word strengthen means that he infuses his strength into me. I'm equal to every challenge. Content. That is, he said, in all the changing seasons of life, I live from Christ, not from the season. And the challenge of the season, what the season presents, I know Christ is my life. Christ can handle that. He's my strength. He's my sufficiency for whatever it is. And incidentally, you need his strength maybe more than ever when it's the times of joy. Because in times of joy, we tend to forget that the joy that we're now experiencing is grace, the empowering presence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit within us. So we don't reject, you see. We don't wish to be somewhere else. We don't walk backwards into life. We receive the grace, the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. And then every moment of this season, though my flesh doesn't like it, it becomes a discovering of this relationship that I have with the Father through the Son. It becomes an adventure. Now you'll understand as never before that the Holy Spirit is your guide, as Jesus said in John chapter, 16? Where he said, guide, and that word, as I've told you often, means a guide into hitherto unknown territory. You're going where you've never been before. You're in a situation whereby you're calling upon a grace and a strength that you've never had to call before. And wow, what an adventure. You're an explorer. You're going into the far reaches of the love of God. I remember I was going up into the Cascade Mountains in Oregon many years ago, and we were packing horses, and we came to this point on the path, and there was this big sign that says that there's no maps beyond this point. It says, buddy, you're on your own. It's never been mapped. go into this part of the Cascades, and we can't even tell you where you are. And I thought, that's life. That's the seasons. You come upon a season. You've never been here before. It's not been mapped. But you are going to establish in this season, in these events, you are going to establish a monument to the love of God that cares for you, that strengthens you, that upholds you, that protects you, that guides you. So you see, I haven't forgotten that we're in Psalm number 1, verse 3, that it says it yields its fruit in its season. That is, we don't have periods where we don't have fruit. With this, you have fruit all the time of one kind or another. There's fruit of the Spirit that it's unique to a season. See, I do not need the fruit of the Spirit that would bring forth forgiveness to someone if I'm not around people that are hurting me and betraying me. You follow me? The fruit of the Spirit is emphasized in certain seasons of my life, and so I'm continually bringing forth the fruit as I recognize He's here, He's now, and He's in me. Look, Paul went to preaching, and when he preached all around the Mediterranean, went off into Europe and preached, and you say, that man is being used of God. He's fruitful. The blessing of the Lord is with him. Yeah, and then he was arrested for being a Christian and put into a Roman jail, which was a very small place, much more like solitary confinement than our jails today. And worse yet, he was handcuffed to a guard. So he was never alone. He had a guard on handcuff all the time. And there he is, locked up in a jail, handcuffed to a Roman soldier, 24/7. And I know many people that say, that's the devil, you see. He's under attack. The devil is shutting him up. Don't be daft. It's a different season. And in that season, what does he do? He recognizes the season, and he recognizes Christ in him. And he picks up his pen, and he writes letters. And those letters and prayers have come down to us in our day and shall go to the end of time and maybe beyond. See, fruitfulness in his travels around the Mediterranean, okay, that was fruit, that was blessing, but you see, the fruitfulness in his jail exceeded that. When they shut him up, he opened up to all of time. Seasons. And those seasons, they take place in now, because you see, the flesh, as I've often said, the flesh is terrified of now, which of course is all you've really got. Now, the flesh goes back and said, if only I hadn't done that. I want that other season. It used to be so good. Or the flesh goes on and says, when I get there, if that happens, then I'll be fulfilled. And of course, in both cases, they're as empty as an old empty Coke can. Now, the only time you're alive is now. Not yesterday. Not tomorrow. Now. Just sit a moment and realize how much of your brain space is taken up with yesterday and tomorrow. Or this afternoon, or this evening, or last night. You realize how little time you spend in now. But see, now, can you hear me? Now, at this moment, this is that point in time where you actually access the heart of the Holy Trinity, the glory of the season. You never access God in yesterday. You never bathe in the love of God in tomorrow. The only point in time where I meet the real living God is now. Yeah. Now. In this now. Because in our seasons, the flesh always wants to go back or forward. But now I discover the reality of the living God in this moment. You might go through the Psalms in the light of this last hour together. You might go through the Psalms and discover that almost, I don't know, I haven't got a percentage, but I would put it as high as maybe 85 to 90% of the Psalms were written out of seasons in life that to the outsider were pretty bad. Days of betrayal, days of extreme loneliness, days of people gossiping and slandering him. Terrible days. Yet, he comes to that now. Yes, they said this. Yes, this is the way it looks. But now, the Lord is my shepherd. He is my glory. He is the lifter of my head. And so on and so on. Is now, right at this second. So that means that maybe 85 to 90% of the Psalms were written out of seasons that we would have rewritten and avoided or abolished if we could. But out of them came these revelations of who the Lord really is. And so the season, we don't live in the season by letting the feelings we might have lord over us or the appearance of the way things are. No, we zero in on the Lord of the season, who is our Father, revealed in Christ, now living in us by the Holy Spirit. Well, I've got to quit. But there's one verse, and then I'm done. It's just a little thing, but it's a good way to finish. In Hosea, the prophet Hosea, chapter 9 and verse 10, the Lord is speaking. He said, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your forefathers as the earliest fruit on the fig tree in its first season. And he's speaking with excitement there, as if he's saying, I came into your life and I saw the fruit of the Spirit. I saw the fruit of love. And it was just bursting forth in your life. I found you like someone going to the tree and seeing the first fruit. And he said it was the first fruit of the season you were in. The Lord delights, you see. The Lord delights in you, in your season, as in that season you bring forth fruit. Well, I'm going to shut up, because if I start off again, we'll have another hour. So, that's the way it is. Go and bring forth fruit in your season. There's a lot to think about in this last hour. A lot. It's a life-changing hour, believe me. So now, I trust we'll be hearing from you to come to the retreat and the Bible school. Again, I thank you for your offerings. I say it again. You and I together, we are changing lives one at a time through showering them with the love of God. Thank you for being with me in this. Thank you. The Lord bless you, keep you, and we shall be together again next month.